Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to Psalm 145. If you were here for Watch Night service, I referenced this psalm as we closed out the year at 12 o'clock midnight and just ran through several things that are in this psalm. But this morning I'd like to preach a message from Psalm 145, and we're entitling it Prospects for 2015. Great. And that's surely true. Let's follow in your Bibles as I read, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all and them all them that call upon that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. We thank you for this wonderful psalm that gives us great hope, great confidence for the coming year. Lord, I pray that you might help us to understand why as we look at the many things about God that are recorded here. We know, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for us, and he rose from the grave and provides salvation to all those who believe on him. The greatest expression of your love that ever was. And we thank you for that. We who know Christ as our Savior, may we be faithful to you this year. And may we never offer excuses, Lord, of reasons that we are not faithful. But may we always be faithful. Because we know that you are. You're always faithful. And we thank you we can count on that for this year. Bless today as we remind ourselves of things about you that are so important. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We have already begun 2015, and we do not know what this year will hold for all of us. The days ahead will no doubt include the good and the bad, fulfillment and disappointments, victories and defeats, joys and sorrows, courage and fear, days we enjoy and days we do not enjoy. But we who have believed on Jesus Christ and accepted him as our personal Savior know that the year will bring to our life only what God allows to come. God has to give permission for everything that comes into our life. We also know that what he allows, he has a purpose for, and he will work everything together for good, according to Romans 8:28. And because of this, we are all more than, who know Christ as Savior, are more than conquerors through Christ, Romans 8:37. God is for us, and nothing at all can separate us from his love, Romans 8:31 and 38 and verse 39. God gives us every reason to know that the prospects for 2015 are great if you know the Lord as your Savior. Now, that does not mean that we can live any way we want to, and everything will be rosy. No, that's not true at all, because sin, which comes sometimes in Christians' lives, does bring consequences. And we will reap what we sow. And if you're a child of God and you sin against God, you can expect the discipline of God. And he will spank you. And so we know that's going to come if you sin. But God uses the consequences of sin and the discipline that he gives because of sin to work for us, not against us. The Bible makes it clear that God is never against the child of God. So 2015 will bring you days that you will know for sure that God is with you all the time and he is for you. He's always working for you. He's never working against you. Even when we disobey him, he is a loving heavenly Father who is all wise, never makes mistakes, and will deal with us as a loving heavenly Father. And so we can face this knowing that 2015 has the prospect of greatness because our God is a great God. Now, all of 2015 is ahead of us except 3.5 days. And that's behind us. But all the rest of it is ahead of us. So we can say for 2015 that the prospects are great. Now, Psalm 145 says that we can extol the Lord, verse 1. We can bless his name and we can praise him every day. Yes, every day of 2015, God will be praiseworthy. So there's not a day in the whole year that God will not be praiseworthy. God will be praiseworthy every day of the year. Psalm 145, verse 2 says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever. So let's look at Psalm 145 this morning and consider some of the reasons why we can face 2015 with confidence. And we'll see that because we're going to look at things about God. First of all, the first thing about God is this. Our God is great. Our God is great. Now, the Bible says that he's great above all gods. And then it adds this. And all the other gods are idols. So they really don't exist. There's one God, and he's a great God. His greatness is unsearchable. Look at verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That means there's no way you can come to write down on a piece of paper how great God is. You can try, and everything you write down about him that's great will be good, but you'll not be able to fathom everything about the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable. Job 9, verse 10 says, he doeth great things past finding out. Past finding out. You can't search out the Lord and find out everything about him. You can't put him in a test tube and say, I've discovered everything about God. God is a great God. Romans 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He is a great God. The Bible says in this passage about his greatness that his works are mighty. Verse 4, it says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. So his works are mighty. His works are wondrous. Verse 5 says, I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. So everything that God does is great. His works are great. His works are mighty. His majesty is glorious. Verse 5 says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. His majesty is glorious. He is great in goodness and he is great in righteousness. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. So God is a great God. Psalm 96 adds to this and tells us how great God is. Let's look back at Psalm 96. I want you to follow with me if you will there. Psalm 96, beginning in verse 1. We'll read just the first few verses. It says, I sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And here's the verse I referred to earlier. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. So there is no other God. They're just idols. And there's only one God. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name, bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. God is a great God. Psalm 147, verse 5 says it like this: Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 48, verse 1 says, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Our God is a great God. So we face 2015 and know this, that God, the one we serve, our God, the only God, is a great God. Now also, there's something else about God, and that is God is gracious. Look at verse 8. It says in verse 8, the Lord is gracious. Take your Bibles and turn back with me to Exodus chapter 34. I want to give you a context of an Old Testament reference to the Lord's graciousness. Exodus 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Now you remember Moses went up into the mount, he had these tables of stone, and God wrote on those tables of stone. And Moses came down, and the children of Israel were rebelling against God. They're dancing around a golden calf that they had made, and they were actually became idol worshipers. They were indecent in their behavior as they danced around it. And the Lord was angry with them, and Moses was too. And Moses threw the tables down and broke them. So God says to Moses, all right, now you go back up into the mountain and you hew out two tables of stone, and verse 1, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. God says, I'll write on those tables as well. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, the context is the children of Israel are worshiping a golden calf. They have sinned against God. They're indecent in their worship, and they're dancing around and lewdly, it's inferred. And so God says, I'm going to write these tables of stone again. And then he says, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to describe to you myself. And he says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Gracious means that God gives us unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. I'm glad that we can face 2015 knowing that there might be times, well, there will be times, in fact, every day of the year, we will not be worthy. And yet the Lord says he's gracious. And so God will be gracious throughout the year. The Lord is gracious. We are so small and evil, and God is so big and good, that if it was not for the fact that he is gracious, we would all be doomed. So we can face 2015 knowing that our God is gracious. Another thing about God says in verse 8, our God is full of compassion. Since our God is full of compassion, there is plenty to go around. Just think, the greatness of the world, all the people in the world. I mean, we were watching a ball game last night, Ben and I. He's from Virginia for some reason or another. Well, we're watching Virginia play in Florida. I didn't plan to watch the whole game, but it got so exciting. They were leading by 18 points at halftime. Well, Florida came up and tied them. Then they went into overtime. They tied again, and they went into second overtime. I'm glad to tell you that Virginia won. But as we were watching that, a picture came up of Florida. That's the city where they're in. I don't know. One of the big cities. And it showed a skyline view at night. And we both had the same thought. Look at all those people. All those people. Yes, all those people in that city and all the other cities, all over the world. And then you add to that the universe that God made. And God made the heavens and all the stars and everything, all the planets. God made all of that as far as we can see and beyond what we can see. And yet God stands above that. God is so great. He is so great and mighty, and yet the Lord says,
He, that great God, is full. He's full of what? Compassion. I tell you, I can face 2015 knowing that my God cares for me. He's a compassionate God. How much care is it? As big as He is, He's full of compassion. So confidence comes up in my soul when I think about God, because God is a compassionate God. He's full of compassion. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, He came to this earth and He became a man like us and He walked upon this earth. And one of the results of that, He can be a compassionate high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands what you're going through. And so in 2015, we know that in that year, our God is going to be compassionate to us because He's full of compassion. And therefore, we can do as 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all our care on Him, because He cares for us. God will care for you in 2015. Whatever happens, God will care for you. He's full of compassion. And then there's another thing about God. I'm glad of this. It says our God is slow to anger, verse 8. He's gracious. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. Slow to anger means long-suffering. There's an interesting interesting description found in 1 Corinthians 13, and it's found in verse 4. And it says love, or charity, it means love. Love suffers long. Love suffers long and is kind. Love is long-suffering. The person who says, I love you, and they don't get what they want, and so they end up abusing the person they supposedly love. You know, it baffles me sometimes that they'll tell you about this love story and these people who loved each other, and because she did something he didn't like, he killed her. Well, that's some expression of love, isn't it? The world doesn't understand love, but God says, here's love. Love suffers long. There's an interesting thing about God, the Bible tells us, and it says this, God is love. God is love. And so if God is love, then God suffers long. God is long-suffering. He is slow to anger. I can face 2015 knowing that God will not react to me. When I do something wrong, God doesn't react and just, you know, lash out at me. God's long-suffering. We need to learn that, of course, in our own lives to be long-suffering. But God is. God is long-suffering. So when I face 2015, maybe February is going to bring a real trial. Maybe February is going to bring a failure in our life. But I know this, when I fail, God is long-suffering. He'll be patient with me. He'll be kind to me in the process. God will not react to me. He will be long-suffering when I fail. And so I'm glad to know that God is a long-suffering God, slow to anger. And then also verse 8 says that our God is of great mercy. Someone has described grace and mercy this way. Grace is the unmerited favor of God when God gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy is the favor of God when He holds back what you do deserve. So we deserve the hand of God to fall down on us, but He holds it back. We don't deserve anything good from Him, but His hand extends to us good. Unmerited favor, withheld punishment, the mercy of the Lord. Our God is of great mercy, not just mercy, but of great mercy. Fits His nature. He's a great God. He has great mercy. Verse 9 says, His tender mercies are over His works. Spurgeon said like this. I liked what he wrote. He said, He is greatly good to the greatly guilty. He is greatly good to the greatly guilty. That's the mercy and grace of God. He withholds what we deserve. So in 2015, we will need lots of mercy. I guarantee every one of you will need lots of mercy. But I'm glad to tell you, it'll be available. You'll have what you need because God is great in mercy. And then there's something else in this passage, or several other things. First of all, our next thing is our God is good to all. Look at verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He is good to all because he is good. The Bible makes it clear that God is a good God. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. Psalm 136, verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then it adds this, because his mercy endures forever. So the mercy of God and the goodness of God sort of goes together. God is good because his mercy endures forever. But I know this, that throughout the year that's coming, God will be good every day. It says we praise him every day, verse 2. God will be good every day. You won't face anything during 2015 where you can say, God must not be good. Why would God do this to me? Why would a good God allow this to happen? No, you need to understand by faith, God is good. He's good every day. And God is a good God. And not only that, he's good to all. He's good to people who deserve it, people who don't deserve it. Well, all of us fall in that second category, don't we? But he's good to all. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5. A great passage where the Lord describes this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. God tells us something that's hard for us to do, but he's the example. He says this, but I say unto you, Matthew 5, 44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is good to all, the psalmist says. God is good to all. And so we know that we can face 2015 knowing that he is good to everyone. He's good to all people. And so we can talk to people who don't know Jesus, and we can tell them God is good, and we can remind them that God is good. God sends you rain. God sends you sunshine. God gives you food to eat. God gives all these things. God is a good God. He's a very good God. But then also we find something else in this passage, and that is our God's kingdom is everlasting. Look at verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. Now Daniel, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, after he went through a series of things that brought him to his knees, he finally realized, and he recognized this, and I really think we just might see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. It seems like Nebuchadnezzar really came to faith in God. But here's his statement of faith, his statement of belief. He said this, his, and he defined him in verse 2, of Daniel chapter 4, he described him as the great God. He called him the great God. And it says, he says, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar discovered what is true, and that is God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You can say this, God always rules. He always has, and he always will. God's always sovereign. He's always in control. And anything that goes on, even on this earth, in rebellion to him, God has permitted that to happen. He gave Adam and Eve the choice to make. And he allowed them to make a choice because he wanted people to love him from their heart. And but so he allowed them to make a choice. And men are rebelling against God, yes. But God is allowing them to make choices. But over all of that, God provided the way for them to be saved by sending his son, Jesus Christ. But God is in control all the time. His kingdom is everlasting. And of his dominion therein, there's no end. It endureth from generation to generation. So there's no generation that can say, well, God wasn't in charge in my generation. I mean, it went haywire and God wasn't. No, God was over all. He is the ruler. He is God. His kingdom stands forever. But there's another kingdom. That other kingdom is the kingdom of the devil. Now, he does have a kingdom. And I say that because that's what Jesus said. And Jesus said that Satan has a kingdom in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26. You can look it up. And his kingdom, Satan's kingdom, though, is going to come to an end. Because in Daniel chapter 2, there's the image given of the great Gentile powers. And there's Babylon, there's the Medes and the Persians, and then the Greeks. You know, I just recently discovered a way I can always remember that. Because I used to, in my mind, get a little mixed up. But the way I always remember Babylon, that's the first one. I always remember Rome, that's the last one. But the ones in between, I can just remember it's miles per gallon, MPG. You know, the Babylon, the Medes, and the Persians, and the Greeks. And then the Romans. But God gives this image, and this great image, the head of gold is Babylon. And he goes on down the image. And then he says, there's going to come a time at the end where there's going to be a stone cut out of the mountain with hands, without hands, and that's Jesus. And he's going to hit the base of that image, and it's all going to fall down. It's all going to be destroyed. And that stone, the Lord Jesus, is going to fill the whole earth. He's going to rule over all the earth. And that tells us that his kingdom will stand forever. The devil's kingdom in rebellion against God, it has a period that it's going to have a kingdom, but it's in rebellion against God, but it will come down. And only God's kingdom will stand forever. Well, I face 2015 knowing this. Things might go haywire in this world. The United States might disappoint us in what they do on certain things and where they stand. But I know this, God's kingdom stands forever. And he will come back someday and he'll rule and reign and he will judge this earth and God will be in charge. He always has been and he will be forever and ever. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endureth throughout all generations. We serve the King whose kingdom never ends. That brings confidence to me in 2015. But then we go on. Another thing that brings confidence in 2015 is our God upholds all who fall. Look at verse 10. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up all those that be bowed down. All that fall, to me, just has the idea of people falling. You know, they fall in sin. They fail. And he also upholds or raises up all those that are bowed down. That's people with burdens. You know, we all fit that category, don't we? We all fall and we all have burdens. We're burdened down with load. And the Lord says, I can take care of all that. If you are fallen or bowed down with a heavy load, God will lift you up. There's no problem in 2015 that God cannot handle. There's no problem too great for him. He will answer your failures, your faults, and with forgiveness. And he will answer your burdens and your problems with his power. God can do it all. So 2015, you don't know what it's going to hold. But you know this. We serve a great God. And when you fall, he can lift you up. And when you're overburdened, he can raise up that load. And he can help you. You can face 2015 with confidence because you have a God who upholds all that fall. And we probably will, but he'll be there to lift us up. And then there's another thing about the Lord, and that is our God supplies our needs. Look at verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, most of us, in order to provide, we really have to work at it. If you want to provide for your family, you've got to work at it. If you want to provide for anybody, you work at it. What does God do? He opens his hand. It's that simple with the Lord. He just opens his hand. It's all there. He has it all. He doesn't have to work to get it. He has it. He just opens his hand. And the Lord says to us in this coming year, that we know that our God will supply our needs. Notice what it says. It says in verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee. You know, whether you understand it or not, you're dependent upon God. The person who's a rebel against God, he's dependent upon God. God keeps his heart beating. God gives him air to breathe. God gives him food to eat. God gives him energy. He's dependent upon God. Jesus said to those who followed him one time, I am the vine, you are the branches. He pictured himself as a vine, and they were just attached to him, and they really couldn't do anything without him. And he said that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, that's true of people. Everybody. They're dependent upon the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Psalm 104, let's look back at that psalm. It tells us how the Lord provides. And Psalm 104, verse 10 says, He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. The Lord gives everybody what they need. Verse 21, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The lion attacks the animal for food, and the Bible says, over it all, it's like this. God gave him that. God provided him that. Look at verse 25. It says, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast. Talking about the ocean. There go the ships. There is the Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou openest thy hand. Just like we saw in Psalm 145. God opens his hand, they're filled with good. You see, God takes care of us. God provides our needs. Psalm 136, verse 25 says, He who giveth food to all flesh. We can face 2015 knowing this. God will meet our needs because he can. All he has to do is open his hand, and he will. Another thing about God is found in verse 17. It says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. As we face this new year, we know this. God will always do what is right. He is righteous in all his ways. He never makes a mistake. I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, God never says, oops. Never does. God never says, I made a mistake. God never does. God always does what is right. What he says is right. What he thinks is right. What he does is right, what he plans is right, and what he fails to do is right. Sometimes we say, well, God, why don't you do this? If God failed to do it, even though we think he should, it was right. God doesn't make mistakes. And he is righteous in all of his ways. We know that about God. But not only that, we also know the latter part of verse 17, and holy in all of his works. He's righteous in all of his ways, and he's holy in all of his works. Holy means that he is never tainted by sin at all. God never does anything evil. He is never impure. His motives are pure. His actions are pure. There is no sin in God. God always does what is right, but more than that, God always does what is pure. God is a holy God. He demands holiness of us for a reason. And he says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to say no to sin. And there's no better reason than this. God is holy. He's your God, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he is holy. And so he wants you to say no to sin. What does the devil want you to do? The devil wants you to say yes to sin. The devil wants you to rebel against the holy, great God who's righteous, never does anything wrong. The devil always does things wrong, and yet the devil will try to get you to follow him in rebellion against God. God is holy. Let's not forget that as we face this year. And then there's another thing, and that is our God hears and answers our prayer. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, who also hear, he will also hear their cry and save them. That pictures God up in heaven, ready to hear us call on him. And it's comforting to know that we can face 2015 knowing that whatever comes up, we have this great God who's listening. And all we have to do is call. He's a God who'll answer prayer. He's a God who'll hear our prayers and answer our prayers. He'll fulfill the desires of all them that fear him. He will hear their cry and save them. When we face trials in 2015, all we have to do is call on him. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says like this. We learned the chorus. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, call on me. You know, it's comforting as a child, or even if you're a grown child, to have mom and dad that you can call. I miss calling my mom. I miss hearing her talk to me. Dad's been gone a long time, but mom hasn't been gone very long. At Christmas, one of my sisters had some necklaces made for her sisters. There's three of them that are still living, you know. And Joyce had a necklace made for her and each of the girls. And she found a letter that mom had written. And on that letter it says, I love you. Then close this, love, mom. She took that and sent it off to this company who makes these necklaces. And all of them had this necklace. And it says, I love you, love, mom. Mom can't talk to us, but it sure was good to hear a voice. But there's somebody a lot better than mom. And that is, when we face trials in 2015, all we have to do is call. You don't even need a phone. I mean, God was way ahead of Verizon. God says all you do is call. And he who inhabits eternity listens, and he saves us from our troubles. We can call on him. And then finally, there's one other thing about God that gives us confidence for this year. And it's found in verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Psalm 31, verse 23 says, the Lord preserveth the faithful. Psalm 97, verse 10, he preserveth the souls of his saints. Proverbs 2, verse 8, he preserveth the way of his saints. Proverbs 16, verse 17, he preserveth the soul of the upright. We are kept by the power of God, and the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, we're preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. God preserves us. So regardless what the devil tries to do and people try to do in 2015, we know that as a child of God, we are preserved by the Lord. God will see us through. God will take care of us. God will keep us, and we are preserved by God. Thank the Lord that he is a great God. Well, this morning I've said we have confidence for 2015 because God is great, God is gracious, God is full of compassion, God is slow to anger, God's a great mercy, God is good to all, his kingdom is everlasting, he upholds all who fall, he supplies all of our needs, he's righteous in his ways, he's holy in his works, he answers our prayer, and he preserves us. Now you give me one reason you can't face 2015 with confidence. With a God like that, who's bigger than any problem you'll ever face, can't you trust him? It's interesting, as I've studied this and I counted. You know, many times people say 13 is an unlucky number. There are some buildings that even have more than 13 floors, and they won't have a 13th floor. They'll go from 12 to 14 because of superstition. And 13 is considered an unlucky number. God just sort of slaps that in the face, because in Psalm 145, there are 13 characteristics given of God. So we can say this, 2015 will hold no unlucky days for the child of God. No unlucky days for the child of God. Because all 13 things about the Lord that we've learned in this passage are for every day. Every day. We don't have to be defeated. We can be confident, because we serve a great God. It's interesting, Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We can have perfect peace in 2015 because our mind is stayed on the Lord. He's a great God. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us of your greatness and your goodness. Lord, you're so good to us. We have so many things for which we can be thankful about you. And Lord, I thank you that all the things we've mentioned this morning are true because you say it's true. Help us not to allow the devil to magnify our problems and magnify the things that we don't have or things that may have happened to us and make us forget that God is over all. May we trust you. May we face uncertain days knowing that you are not uncertain. We can always count on you. Now, Lord, if somebody's here who's not saved, we've never trusted Jesus, they can't claim any of this because right now they're an enemy of Christ. But, Lord, I pray they would realize that Jesus died for their sins, paid the price for them, and rose from the grave the third day. He wants to be their Savior, and he will if they'll turn to him in faith. And I pray that they would today. Help us to be encouraged in this new year. We pray in Jesus' name.